All right, everybody, welcome back to the Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast. EMH here, and it's great to be back. I've taken a little hiatus. I don't know what it was, 1 week, 2 weeks, just a lot of stuff going on here in Alabama. We move at a slower pace, and so it takes me longer to get my stuff done, but happy to be back. Joining the panel tonight, we have Dr. Venkman. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just great, buddy.
It is so good to hear your voice again.
Of course. It always is good to hear my voice.
Yeah.
Right, wow, folks?
All right. Also with us, Abe Froman is here, right?
Salutations.
It's good to talk to you. Big words. just slow down there with Mr. Vocabulary. Is the dude, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay.
Oh,
what's
man.
What's up, dude?
I've missed you most of all, dude. Scarecrow.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And the
taking
always,
that one with EMH, thank you.
You're very welcome. The always entertaining Mr. Black.
Hello.
It's good to hear you again too.
Thank you.
And that's it tonight. I'm not forgetting anybody, am I?
No, that's
it. That's it.
We really need some females on our panel.
Mazer's actually out on a date tonight, so.
So maybe there'll be a Mazette we can get on the show.
Well,
here.
going back to your females comment, Lola, I know you're listening. Jump on the podcast. You're always welcome.
Yeah, I've heard about Lola, and I've seen some stuff. You know,
she
I've
was in the. She actually was on the Twilight podcast. She was one of the one of our female guests, and I know she hears the podcast religiously. So, come on, jump on. You know, you're welcome too. So
we want you, Lola. We want you.
Come on, you can do it.
All right. Okay, guys. Tonight, obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about the Oscars coming up. That's the big story, and we're going to talk about our if we pull this off, the live podcast we're going to do for the Oscars Sunday night.
We gotta patch some Band-Aids together and see if we can get this thing to work.
Exactly. This is like the – I mean, it could be the biggest night in Geek Tyrant history, right? You know. From an entertainment.
It would be our first live broadcast. I mean, and what better way for Geek Tyrant to have their first live broadcast than with the Academy Awards?
Exactly. And so when Geek Tyrant Productions is accepting the Academy Award for Best Picture, you know, several years from now, then they can look back and say the first thing we ever recorded and broadcast live was our Academy Award podcast. Won't that be great?
It will be. It's like when the radio was first invented.
Very nice. When the Marconi family took such great pride in their radio wave invention. That's excellent. Okay.
Wouldn't it be funny if Geek Tyrant won a Marconi Award?
That would be awesome.
Awesome.
That would be hilarious.
And we'd stand up there and say, it's about time.
Exactly.
After dozens of podcasts, finally.
Well, this is 19.
Exactly, this is 19, and I'm very excited to talk about this because my mind was absolutely blown when I saw the number one movie in the country's box office take this weekend. So let's get right into that.
Was it really?
Yeah. Well, does anybody want to guess what the number one movie was?
I just go as far to say it's Friday the 13th.
Okay, Friday the 13th is the number one movie in the country. Now, I was asking. I asked my wife, who does not follow such things very often. And I said, "Guess how much money it made?" And she looked at me and said, $100 million." And she was being sarcastic. Even she knew that wasn't going to happen. But you give her that look, right? That says, "Okay, so no matter what it made for real, it's not going to sound impressive after you've said that." So, that all being said. Does anybody want to guess what it made?
30?
Well, I already looked, so I think I kind of know, so I won't say anything.
Thanks, Venkman, for ruining that.
I haven't seen it, so I'm guessing 26 million-ish?
Ish.
Yeah. Friday the 13th, $42.2 million.
Well,
yes.
Why?
Yes.
I hate that because now there's going to be a stupid sequel.
Why are you people watching this piece of crap?
Okay, first of all, has anybody seen it?
Yes.
You did see it.
I did see it.
So you really think it was that bad?
I didn't like it. It wasn't even for me. I mean, look, I like the original ones. I'm old school like that. I don't know. It's not like I'm old, but I still like the original. I just thought they were a lot more fun. A lot of people don't agree with my view on it. A lot of people liked it. So I'm not sure what was going on. I didn't like it at all, though. Thought it was awful.
You're kidding me. It looks legitimately good.
Dude.
Are you serious?
Dude.
That's not me. I'm EMH.
EMH. I gotta say. Well, even the trailers didn't look good. That's
I don't know
thing.
What trailers they're showing out in California. The trailers they're showing us. I mean, maybe it's like World War II propaganda films or something. But over here in the South, that looks like a good old movie.
Really?
I was so disappointed with it. But here's the thing, though. I went in with a bad attitude. I went in watching the trailer. I wasn't impressed by it. I was like, ooh, Jason runs fast now with a machete. So what? A lot of other people are saying how much more badass that Jason is in this movie than in the original. Yeah, the Jason's more bulkier and he's bigger and he's uglier and he runs and he has a bigger machete and it's probably more hardcore. But at the same time, it's like, so where's the originality to it? You know? I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry, everybody that liked that movie. I'm sorry that I didn't like it. But I didn't. I don't know. I couldn't.
Okay.
It wasn't even fun. I didn't even laugh in it, you know?
Okay, so the people that have seen it hated it. That's fine.
No,
fine.
I hated it. There's a lot of people that saw it that liked it. I've read other reviews, people giving it A's, B's, and C's. I mean, I gave the movie an F, you know? For Friday the 13th.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Wow.
Do you guys remember, like, Nickelodeon used to do that little movie review show for kids, and they gave it letters for just that? I gave it a B for boring. Does anybody remember that? I'm going to go to YouTube and search for that, because I don't remember what it was. But okay.
Well, the worst is when they went, I give it an F for effing horrible, and that just brought across the line. Nickelodeon.
I like that. Okay, but I'm looking up Friday the 13th Part 8, which was Jason Takes Manhattan. That movie made $6 million opening weekend. Total gross, $14 million. That was its total gross. And I'm not saying it should have been, you know, more. I'm throwing that out there. And if you start adding up the sequels, $42 million in one weekend.
It's impressive.
I would say, now, Freddy vs. Jason, I throw that out. I don't
I'm shocked
consider
that it made that much.
But if you throw out Freddy vs. Jason, then I would say that Friday the 13th, Part 9, well, I guess it's just Friday the 13th.
This would be Part 11, actually.
I was going to say,
if
you count Jason.
Yeah, this would be Part
11.
In Part 10, they sent Jason to space, remember?
But
that was horrible.
Is this,
but the thing is I like that movie better than I like this one.
Okay, well, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous, then. But the thing is, do you consider this the 11th Friday the 13th, you know,
no.
in a series?
No, it's a remake.
It's a remake. It's 100%. Well, not – it's a remake. It's a remake of the sequel because in the original movie, the original killer was the mother. Now, in this movie, the movie starts out – the title credits are telling the story of Jason's mom going around killing people. Okay.
Gotcha.
So that's the little thing. They get rid of the whole thing of Jason's mom being the killer in the first 5 minutes of the film during the opening credits.
Right.
And then it shoots forward to Jason all grown up killing people. So, you know, so the second movie is the one where Jason was the actual killer. So I'd say this is a remake of the sequel.
No, I haven't seen it, but wasn't it the description I heard that it was parts 1 through 3 condensed into one film?
Sure, let's do that. Let's do that. You know, well, I agree 100%. You know, I could say I could even go far as say this is parts 1 through 7 before Jason leaves to go to Manhattan and then space. So
and hell on the way. Don't forget.
Don't forget hell.
They go to hell too. So it's a condensed, but they'll keep making it. Now they're gonna make lots of people going up there, lots of girls getting naked and getting killed naked. Lots of girls get killed naked in this movie.
I think that's the reason why it made so much money. Wanting to see naked girls get killed.
That's it.
Nothing new.
But they weren't teenagers though. They were like, I don't know, community college kids or something.
There you go. 20-somethings wanting to see a bunch of naked girls get killed.
Wasn't that the appeal? Hasn't that been the appeal the whole time?
No, actually, through the 90s, they didn't do that.
Look at these films. They're not like theatrical masterpieces. They're slasher films. I mean, you look at like Jason and Freddy. They were cutting edge at their time, but I mean, come on. They weren't like I said, cinematical masterpieces. They were guys killing people and girls running around naked and people getting their heads cut off and being killed.
The dude has a point there. I mean, that whole line in Scream about that.
Exactly, but that's a whole 80s thing. Now the 80s is coming back. That's 80s is coming back.
Okay, what about Saw, Hostel, all these things, naked chicks and blood and violence? I mean, this is nothing new. It's just another way to make money off of Jason. I mean,
you make a very good point. I mean, they could have, it couldn't have even been Jason. They could have slapped a kind of mask. Choose a mask.
Hockey.
Well, we got a hockey mask. It's Jason.
So William Shatner mask. Oh, wait, okay. That's another mask.
Oh, we've already done that. They could have put a George Bush mask on and went around killing naked girls and people would have seen it. You know, George Bush stalks Camp Crystal Lake.
I'd watch that, actually.
I want to see it, and this would make EMH's year, would be a Wall-E Friday the 13th crossover.
Wall-E running around flashing people.
Look,
I'd be into that.
I'd watch
Wall-E
that.
The hockey mask.
No,
especially if it
no
was a
complaints
Pixar
out
flick.
Of me.
I'm in.
And I got one word. Believable.
and here's the tagline. Wall-E, he no longer wants to just hold hands. There you go, right?
Pixar, get on that.
Get on that. You're welcome, Pixar.
I know you're listening.
Slasher film.
We know you're listening. Get on that.
Are they?
Okay, but just so I can at least try to put it in some sort of perspective, Friday the 13th, the original, 1980, first weekend, 5.8 million. Friday the 13th Part 2, 1981, 6.4 million opening weekend. Part 3, 9.4 million. Part 4, 11.1 million. Part 5, 8 million. Part 6, 6.7 million. Part 7, 8.2 million. I mean, these are not movies that, even though Jason is that little horror icon, I mean, Part 8, 6.2 million. Part 9, 7.5 million. And Jason X, 6.6 million.
Inflation.
This movie made 42. Okay, that's fine. Adjust for inflation. But this movie made $42 million on the most romantic movie weekend of the year.
Okay, you bring up a good point. That actually, think about it. How many people go on dates to movies that are horror movies?
But it doesn't change the fact that I just didn't like the movie.
That's fine. True. That's fine.
But you make a good point. So I'm not. Well, I can't argue that. I just can't. Those are the facts.
Here's what's more impressive. Those movies, generally, all those wonderfully high opening weekends I just gave you, those are usually the bulk of what the movies make. For instance, the average box office take for a Friday the 13th movie, and this is if you include Freddy vs. Jason, which I don't, but Freddy vs. Jason made $82.6 million. If you include that, the average take of a Friday the 13th movie is $28.8 million total.
Wow.
Whoa. And this one made $42 million opening weekend. To me, very impressive.
Freddy vs. Jason was much better, by the way.
I loved Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah,
I loved
that was the movie right there. I mean,
because I got exactly what I was expecting.
Exactly.
Now, the question
is,
what was
I expecting from this? I don't know.
I was going to say, you weren't expecting it to be good from the get-go.
That's right.
I will say, but once again, we're talking about a budget of $19 million. So this movie made twice as much as its budget in one weekend. It blew away the competition for the number one movie in the country. Of course, it didn't have anything really that big.
Michael Bay wins again.
Yeah, it's his world, and we're just living in it. Okay.
Well, if Michael Bay's name wasn't on that, I doubt it would have made that much money. But I think because Michael Bay had a huge factor. I mean, Michael Bay's huge. People love going to his movies.
That's another really good point, actually. I mean, there are people that'll go to movies just because of a director or an actor or something.
Even though he
like
just
that.
Produced it. I mean, he just slapped his name on there as a producer. He didn't even direct it. So it's just like, hey, Michael Bay, it's got to be pretty crazy.
But that also kind of falls into the whole Nightmare Before Christmas syndrome where people keep saying, you know, they think it's one of Tim Burton's best films, but he didn't direct it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
I don't disagree.
It kind of falls under that whole syndrome where people will brand the film. You know, they'll follow a director or an actor. I mean, how many girls out there will watch a Johnny Depp movie no matter what just because he's in it? I mean, granted, he's a great actor, but they don't care. They just don't look at him.
I don't disagree. Now, I will say this. You know, I always say that the true test of what audiences think of a movie is the second weekend. Friday the 13th, a lot of hype. Obviously, it actually was very, very fortunate that it actually opened on a Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's...
Here's the other thing. It's probably going to do pretty well. I probably will. I mean, you know, people don't listen to me, so...
I listen.
Well, oh, sorry, I know you listen. I'm just saying, like, the majority of people out there, I don't know. A lot of people like Friday the 13th.
You hear me, but you actually hear me.
They'll read it, but they don't like what I read.
42 million opening weekend. What does everybody think? Is this movie going to make 15 million in its second weekend?
I think so.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yes.
I got to be honest. I still think 15 million might be a stretch for a second weekend on. Because it is, at the end, it's still a Friday the 13th movie. And, you know,
The fact that it's made $40 million in its opening week means that there's going to be enough people that are going to go back or are going to tell other people to go watch it. Even if it is crap, people will watch it because it's crap.
Well, I will say, I will add this, and this is all I will say about it until I say something else about it. But I am tired, and I mean no disrespect to anybody who may be struggling financially at this time. But I'm getting sick of hearing about how horrible the economy is and seeing movies like Friday the 13th open at $42 million. And seeing, even though I loved watching this movie, seeing movies like Paul Blart, Mall Cop, which is now up to $110 million in only 5 weeks.
And they're already talking a sequel.
Of course they are, because it cost $26 million to make, and it's made $110 domestically.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a franchise, okay? In three movies, when Kevin James jumps ship, they're going to go get some other fat guy who's unheard of, and they're going to do a direct-to-DVD release of Paul Blart Mall Cop, and they're going to team him with Air Bud, and they're going to be a team. And it's going to be...
It'll be Horatio Sands.
Exactly. That's a great call. Great call, no, Mr. Black.
Except by then he won't be the mall cop. He'll be like secret security or something.
He'll be his brother. He's like his like half legit illegitimate brother or something like that.
Paul Blart goes to Washington.
It's true. Okay, moving on. Finally, the number two movie in the country this week. He's Just Not That Into You, which that's a gutsy title for a movie. I mean, it's long.
It's long.
There's no big word to catch you, but this movie did. I think it was, what, number one last weekend and made $19.6 million this weekend. Total gross so far, $55 million. What are your thoughts?
I haven't seen it. I want to see it, but I haven't got around to seeing it yet.
I've spoken to one person who saw it. It was a woman, and she said it was hilarious.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
It's got a good cast.
That's all I can offer.
Yeah, it's like an ensemble cast, right? It's like a big ensemble.
It is. Paul Rudd's in it, right?
No.
He's not. Okay.
Ben Adams.
It's
everybody else is in it.
Yeah, Justin Long, Ben Affleck, Jennifer Aniston.
Oof. Yeah,
Conley.
She's talented. She's going to go places.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three, Taken.
Awesome movie.
Great movie. Really good movie.
$19.2 million in its third week in releases. Now, you have to assume this is a surprise hit. I mean, they were showing trailers for it several months ago, but I think they had to push the release date back.
Yeah, something happened.
Well, it's up to about $78 million domestically, and this is one of the few movies that I can look at and say I actually saw. And I wrote a review on it, and I just haven't put it on the site yet, so my apologies, because I actually wrote a review on this.
Nice!
And I will say this, if you would have given me the plot to this movie, heck, if you'd have even given me the screenplay and said, okay, EMH, you're in charge of casting for this film, I would have thought of 25 guys that I would have picked before Liam Neeson. And then when I left the movie, I was thinking, I'm so glad I was not in charge of casting this movie, because Liam Neeson did such an awesome job.
Awesome. It was just a fantastic job he did.
Well, the fact that Kevin James topped your list, EMH, that just...
Exactly. Kevin James was like third or fourth. He was, and Horatio Sands was 27. but I really think, I mean, this Liam Neeson, not that he's never done anything with action, but I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of an action movie he's been in.
Batman Begins.
True. There you go.
Schindler's List.
Phantom Menace.
Schindler's List, an action movie?
Yeah, I guess. Schindler's List is an action movie, by the way.
Dark Man.
Sheesh.
That was in the 80s.
That was early 90s.
That was almost 20 years ago. Regardless.
All I could think of was Kinsey. There was some action in that movie. But in all honesty, kind of a, I don't want to say a completely unheard of director, but what's his face? I can't even think of his name. He hadn't really done anything big at this point, right? He doesn't even know who directed it. See?
We're moving on.
Yeah, you're not perfect either.
He was good, though. He did a great job.
But I was impressed, and I really thought that as far as action movies go, that did a really good job of not taking too long to give you some background and set up the story. I mean, they gave you some, but they didn't waste time in the movie doing it, and they didn't. I don't know. They didn't focus on a lot of things that some action movies would have to draw this movie out. I mean, this movie was only like an hour and a half. I mean, it wasn't very long. And you know what? I don't mind that. I don't mind a movie being short. If it's good, then, you know, I'd rather see a really good hour and a half movie than an hour and, you know, 52-minute movie that just drug on and on. So that was impressive.
I think that's what made this movie good, is that it was a focused, simple story. It wasn't like this big, epic conspiracy or anything. It was just...
He had to get his daughter back. I'm gonna freaking kill those bastards.
And that's all it was. And they did a really well job of just doing that. They didn't do the whole he has a whole secret life and it's all connected to his past career. No, it was just they took the wrong guy's daughter. That's all it was.
Exactly. Well, and they didn't get sidetracked.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy that they were, the buddy of his that gave him that information, you know, at the beginning. You know what I'm talking about? That was talking to him on the phone when he was at his ex-wife's house. It's like, you know, they didn't spend the whole rest of the movie going back to that guy who was working with his boss trying to help him out from the other side or whatever. I mean, there was just so many stories. Like, for instance, the girl that he did rescue from the prostitution ring that had her jacket.
Right.
He didn't get caught up trying to save her. He put her in the hotel, and we don't know what the heck happened to her. She's gone. But
and I think that's one of the things that made that such a great film is that they did that. They didn't.
Yes.
He didn't become the hero of everybody. He was just getting his daughter, and that's what he was doing.
Yes, I kept thinking of Jack Bauer. but at the same
Liam
time,
Liam Neeson is Jack Bauer's father.
Exactly, because I kept thinking, you know what? He didn't have. It's not like he was involved in something for the greater good. He wanted his daughter back.
The greater good.
Exactly. Okay. Number four movie this weekend, Confessions of a Shopaholic, $15.4 million. I don't even want to talk about it. You guys have anything?
No.
Yeah, well, I like Isla Fisher a lot. She was great in Wedding Crashers. She's a great actress. But other than that, I didn't want to see the movie at all. So.
You're insane, dude. That movie sucked.
I didn't watch it.
Wedding Crashers?
That's all I'm saying.
No. This movie.
Shopaholic. Oh.
Shopaholic.
Did you see it?
I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah.
Nice.
No, here's the thing. This is one of those movies, I mean, we've all seen the preview. Just take every preconceived notion that you have when you see the preview.
Dude, you
bag it on for an hour and 45 minutes, and there's the film. Just,
wow.
Nothing new. Made the girls laugh a lot. Whatever. There's a cute guy. Just stupid. Nice. Anyways.
Cute guys suck.
Don't they?
All right, the number five movie this weekend, Coraline, $15.3 million.
It's a good movie. Really good movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Really enjoyed it.
You know, that's impressive. The top seven movies in the country all made $10 million or more. And I don't know that happens very often in this early in the year. Might have to look that up, but that's pretty interesting. As a matter of fact, I'm going to click on this link that says last year, and I'm going to make you guys wait until my webpage loads to tell you what happened last year. I'm not doing the whole This Week in History segment, but I am going to click on the link for last year.
Maybe in the future we'll have some webpage loading music.
While we're waiting, can I ask everybody a question?
Yes.
Has everybody seen the Inglourious Bastards teaser trailer?
No.
Yes. I saw it.
I can't wait.
But I tell you what, that if you were going back in all of 2008, the title most often referenced on the Geek Tyrant website has to be Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Pinkman was always writing something about that movie.
I've really been looking forward to it.
That or Watchmen.
Yeah, Watchmen. I think Watchmen beats it.
I think I think
we post something new on Watchmen. In fact, I just posted something today.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a new TV spot, which is pretty cool.
Okay. A year ago, Jumper was the number one movie in the country at $27 million in its opening weekend.
Wow, Jumper?
But only the top four movies made $10 million or more in their opening weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. You know,
more people are going. There's more people in the world. More people going to the movies.
Yeah, but the economy. That's the thing.
No. Check this out. Inverse. Listen to this, dude. Listen to this. Because during the Depression, when the economy was crap, that's when movie sales went up. That's when people were going to the movies to escape reality.
Wait a second.
Yeah, he's right. He's right about that.
You said Crossing the Streams was bad.
No, I think there's something about when the economy crashes that people go to the movies more. I think.
Well, there is. I mean, people are looking for something to take their minds off of it.
Yeah,
that and they may not have jobs and they may have free extra time. So why not fill the void with going to a movie?
And there's a lot of like $3 theaters and stuff around, at least in LA, where they're really old crappy theaters. And that nobody goes to, so they just drop their prices down to like $3.
Oh yeah,
so $3. We have dollar theaters still, man.
And there's that's places so like cool. like
I wish we had dollar theaters.
SLC.
I'd go to the dollar theaters every day.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
I would.
You'd step foot in there once, and you wouldn't go back.
You say that now, but you wouldn't, Bankman. You would.
You really wouldn't, man. Let's just the gig's up. You wouldn't do it.
No, but I will say this. I mean, you touch on an excellent point. Steve Martin, who I think is the most funny, brilliant, funny guy ever, he gave an interview recently where he said the reason he made the Pink Panther 2 is that, I mean, he knew it was just silly, crazy, you know, don't need to think about at all comedy. But he said he did it because he really thinks right now the way the world is, people just are looking for something like that to take their mind off things. And, you know, look at Paul Blart, Mall Cop, and it's $110 million. And even the Pink Panther, you know, nothing brilliant, but $22 million in 2 weeks for a movie that looks absolutely horrendous. But again, I can't watch Steve Martin laugh. So I'm completely biased in that. But I mean,
we got in a big discussion about Pink Panther last week.
Yeah, last week we got in a pretty big discussion about it.
I'm sorry I missed it, but I won't make you revisit it. But I don't know. It's by the way, Pink Panther just made $9 million. It's dropped to number 8. But you know, I think you bring up a great point, is that people are just, they're looking for something that they can just, you know, forget about troubles and go watch some
watch some movies.
And maybe, and again, maybe that is one more little particle of the success of Friday the 13th. But you know,
yeah.
Possible.
Okay, if you're worried about your Oscar contenders, because, you know, we see sometimes building up to the Oscars, they bring in a little bit more money. Slumdog Millionaire was the highest Best Picture nominee, $7.1 million over the weekend. Curious Case of Benjamin Button all the way down at number 19, but it made $1.6 million. Milk made $816,000. But it's only showing on 387 screens throughout the country. What else is nominated for Best Picture? Frost Nixon, $473,000, bringing its total to $16.3 million. And what's the other one nominated for Best Picture? I can't think.
The Reader.
That's Reader. Right, The Reader. Excellent. Thank you, dude. The Reader is number 15, $2 million. So there you go. Okay, well, there's your top five. Now, coming up next weekend. Oh, did anybody see The International?
No,
nope.
You know,
was it?
We've been talking about movies that people want to see to forget about problems, and who thought it was a good idea to release this movie? Where, you know, I don't know, but from the trailer, it just looks like a bank is totally leading the world straight to annihilation. So I can't imagine why Clive Owen decided this was going to be a good one.
Well, in certain parts of the world right now, their economic problems are because of banks.
Certain parts of this part of the world is.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, so they're kind of doing this for you know, I think in part for awareness of that, and in part for, you know, to stick it to these banks for, you know, screwing us all over.
They're capitalizing on people's fear.
Yeah.
Someone wants a revolution. That's what I think.
Yep. The Geek Tyrant Revolution.
There's whole countries that have gone bankrupt because the banks have just been really acting bad. So,
good call, Mr. Black. Acting bad.
Acting bad. Banks. Time out, banks.
Easy for our listeners to understand. You're acting bad. The International acted bad over the weekend. It only made $10 million in its opening, and that's a shame.
It's kind of expected, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. It didn't look that good to me anyway. Okay, but coming up next weekend, if you guys are interested in what's coming out, we have, well, goodness gracious. Oh, here we go. Tyler Perry has another movie coming out.
Yeah!
Madea Goes to Jail.
Madea Goes to Jail. Oh, this movie is going to make $20 million, is it not?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for some reason people seem to like Tyler Perry.
Do you know what these movies remind me of? I don't. Some of you guys are a little bit closer to my age, but the whole Ernest series in the '80s. Ernest goes to camp. Ernest goes to jail. All those kind of things. This Madea is kind of like the modern day Ernest without the Vern. You know.
That is. I've never heard that.
I'm gonna have to go rewatch those movies now.
That is pretty funny, Ernest.
Because you got Mathieu doing everything these days, just like Ernest was. So I mean, Ernest. You know, it's
that's hilarious. Well, the only other movie coming out in wide release is Fired Up, and you know that just looks hideous. What happened to a nice big release coming out on Oscar weekend? I remember when Liar Liar came out on Oscar weekend back in 97, and made like $38 million, which at the time was like, I don't know, a record for a comedy. And Jim Carrey came out to present an award at the Oscars and just walked out there with this big grin on his face. Everybody was clapping. He was just laughing. And then he looked at him and said, "And how was your weekend?" That was good stuff. And now, you know, now that we got Madea and Fired Up. So,
wait, what's Fired Up? I haven't even heard of that.
It's one of those teenage.
It's like a spoof on the cheerleading movies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Two high school jocks decide to ditch their annual football training session for cheerleading.
Oh, that movie. Okay, I know which one you're talking about now.
Let's ditch it.
Fired Up.
I love cheerleading camp.
But that's it. I mean, so not much to talk about there.
I married the head cheerleader, by the way.
What? Wait. What?
Mrs. Venkman was the head cheerleader?
Yes.
Sweet.
Oh, wow.
Good for you.
Why did I not know this sooner, Venkman? I missed out on a good 6.5 years. Golly.
You know, in fact, a funny Mrs. Venkman fact, she taught me how to do a back handspring.
There you go.
So thank you, Mrs. Venkman. Wherever.
Yeah, she taught us how to do backflips one day.
Onto a Dr. Venkman's love sack.
Yeah. It's not Major's house.
True story.
It is. It's a true story. I was there. Backflips.
Oh, you weren't there.
No, I remember when everybody was doing backflips in my house.
Maybe afterwards, but at the first time, Mrs. Venkman was teaching me, the dude, and another
Yeah.
It's fun, man.
It's good. I don't remember what Venkman was.
A backflip will do to your confidence, man.
That's hilarious.
Kind of straying off topic here, guys.
Yeah. Pause for edit.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the only other thing we have to talk about other than television is the Oscars. And, you know, once again, we're going to try to really inundate our website visitors and podcast listeners this week with talk about the Oscars, because we really are going to try to get things going for you. Some things we have in the works are, first of all, we want to do the podcast live, and we get it started a little bit before the Oscar show, the award show starts. Sunday, February 22nd, and going to just try to hopefully have a chat room set up, and we'd love for everybody to just join us, chatting and listening to the podcast, and we talk about the Oscars and make fun of the things we need to make fun of. By the way, I don't think we talked about this a few weeks ago when we really talked about the Oscar nominees, but I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions about the award show itself. I'm curious to hear what you guys like or dislike about the show, how they do things. But first of all, do you think Hugh Jackman is a good choice to host?
I have no idea why they picked Hugh. That was just an odd choice. I mean, the guy is a stage performer, like started out as a stage performer, didn't he? So.
Yeah, he's got a Tony Award.
Sure he's going to go up there and do a little song, a little dance, most likely.
I would think so. I would think he's going to do some sort of song.
But the guy, Hugh Jackman, can pull off being funny. Awesome, you know.
No, the guy is pretty witty. I don't know if you guys have seen his Behind the Actor Studio, and he's a pretty funny guy. Or I mean, he's not like a stand-up comedian or anything, but he's got a good personality. And that's I don't see this as a weird choice. I think to me it kind of makes sense, and I think they're just kind of also trying to reboot, because apparently a lot of people were very disappointed by last year's.
You're just excited Oscars. To see Wolverine.
That too, but that's besides.
Who did it last year?
I will say this: wasn't it Jon Stewart last year? I thought it was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I agree. I would never go back to Jon Stewart.
You know who I really want to see host this thing is Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. Oh,
that would be hilarious.
That would be great. That would be great.
Wow.
That was awesome. I mean, remember when he got up, when he presented for the Golden Globes? That was just hilarious. He would be so great.
Are you listening to us, Academy? Next year.
Next year.
That is a good call.
That is a great call. You nailed it, dude.
No, go and call Ricky Gervais and get him for next year.
You know what I find strange about Hugh Jackman doing this? For a non-comedian to host the Oscars, isn't that kind of career suicide? for one, if someone wants to be a serious actor, I don't think
he cares.
I don't think Hugh Jackman.
He's got nothing to worry about, man.
Yeah, I don't think he's got anything to worry about.
He's not one of these kind of actors that's trying to get the award. You know, he's not. He's just an actor. He
does it for fun.
Yeah, he just does his thing.
Okay, that's fair enough. But I don't know. When I think of the Oscars, I want to see somebody that I'm used to seeing stand up, you know, in front of an audience and talk
and getting naked.
And getting naked. No, that's not true. I don't know. I mean, to me, Billy Crystal set the bar so darn high.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness, if he would sign a lifetime contract to do the Oscars every year right now, I'd probably say do it. I mean, he was seemingly flawless every time. I did, of course, again, I'm very, very biased, but I loved it when Steve Martin did it. I thought that Ellen, there are a lot of female stand-up comics that I just don't think are as funny, but I thought Ellen did a fantastic job. I like her. I'm sorry, I do.
I like Ellen a lot too.
Yeah, Ellen was fun.
She's very entertaining, very funny, and she seems to be a very humble person. I don't know. Chris Rock, I thought, was a stretch, but wasn't horrible.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan.
But Whoopi Goldberg was disaster.
Do you remember in the middle of it, she goes, "You guys are really missing Billy Crystal right now."
That's, yeah.
When you're bad, you don't need to admit you're bad. You know, like that just makes everybody just hate you a lot more.
You know who else I want? I want to see Conan O'Brien do it as well. He'd do a great job.
He did great. Yeah, he hosted the Emmys one year, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I agree. He'd probably be good. I'm not a huge Conan fan, but I think that he would be good to host the Oscars. I don't know. I just there's so few people that I want to even give a chance, because it only happens once a year. And if you get up there and you shrewd it, then it's going to be awful. I mean, it's just going to be terrible. Which, by the way, I think Steve Carell could host the Oscars. I was almost
going to say that. Yeah. But I think you guys are dead on with Ricky Gervais, though. I mean,
yeah,
that would be perfection.
Stellar. He would be stellar. Okay. All right. So, what else about the show? Remember a few years back they had a problem with it. It just went so darn long every year.
Yeah.
Did you guys think it was long? You guys didn't like that?
I frankly didn't care. I enjoy watching the Oscars. So whatever they do, I mean, I'm just gonna watch it. You know?
But, I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, I feel like it could have gone 6 hours, and I'd have been fine. You know, when they do the Irvin G. Thalberg Award, I'm going to get up and go stretch my legs.
There you go. But, yeah, see?
You know.
I'm going to go watch a movie during the...
exactly.
You know, during the entire middle
section. They're promising under 3 hours.
Yeah, they're promising under 3, so that's going to be interesting. I believe this is also going to be the first year... that they are going to run movie trailers during the Oscars.
Well, that'll be cool.
So, because I guess they
like
had
during
some...
During the commercials or like during the actual
show?
No,
during the commercials. Because apparently there was something... They were never allowed to run movie trailers during it for some reason. And they lifted it this year, hoping to boost ratings.
Oh. That's great. So now basically we're hoping to boost ratings by bringing in different commercials. That's great.
What is this, the Super Bowl now? I mean,
exactly.
Yes. My. It's the Super Bowl of Hollywood.
Here's a little something. I'm going to throw out an actor to you. This is an actor who's never been nominated for an Oscar in all their year's work, and I want you to tell me if you think that's a shame. Or if you think that's, you know, you don't care, or what. If you have any thoughts on that. This person's never been nominated for an Oscar. Richard Gere. Does that surprise you?
No.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Actually, what movie was it that I think he should have
been Chicago.
Nominated? Nah. Not Chicago. The one...
You thought John C. Reilly should have been nominated for an Oscar over Richard Gere in Chicago?
No.
Because he was.
I know
that, right? Okay, just checking.
I just don't think Richard Gere should act ever again, period.
Maybe Officer and a Gentleman. Well, did you think Benioff's Officer and Gentlemen?
He recently
he was horrible
did,
on that.
He recently did a film that I watched up at Sundance with the dude called Brooklyn's Finest, and I think that is the best role I've ever seen him in. To be honest with you, after all these years, I thought that that was one of the best things he's ever done.
Huh.
Dude?
Yes, I agree with that. He did a great job. Self-loathing, suicidal cop. Can't go wrong. You can relate there. You know, the whole self-hatred thing. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. But, yeah, he did a great job in Brooklyn's Finest.
Do you guys ever see The Hoax?
Never saw it.
Okay. He was, as the one I was thinking, he was really, really great. And it's about an author who... what's it? Who fakes a biography about Howard Hughes? He was brilliant.
Yeah, he was. That was a good movie. He's pretty good in that, but not Academy Award good.
I'm just not a fan of
general.
I'm a humongous fan of the movie Chicago, and I do not like Richard Gere. I do not like him at all. But I thought he should have been nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for his role in Chicago.
What about Best Actor for The Mothman Prophecies?
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Hey, what about First Night? Come on.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
You played
here's
Lance
another,
a lot.
here's an actress who's never been nominated for an Oscar. Meg Ryan. Does that surprise you?
Nope.
Alcoholic and When a Man Loves a Woman, The Soldier, and Courage Under Fire, none of that. You didn't
Meg Ryan awesome? Pretty much plays the same character in every movie, though.
Yeah.
Most of her movies,
she tried to mix it up with that one movie, In the Cut. You remember that?
Yes. She
tried to play, like, the bad girl or whatever, you know?
She was was that the one where she was the boxing manager?
Stop it.
Where was the nomination for that one?
Omar Epps and Meg Ryan against the rope.
She is bad
to be a boxing manager. Okay, here's one. Now, this one may not surprise you because you probably know it already, but it's probably going to tick you off. John Cusack.
Now you've hit the emotional chord.
Never been nominated for an Oscar, and
that's crazy.
Okay,
wasn't there talk about him getting one though for the what's it called, Grace Is Gone or whatever it's called?
Yeah, but
the one I'm talking about?
You know, yeah, I watched it, but the movie wasn't that good at all.
As much as I love John Cusack, I can't think of a role that, you know, that outrages me that he wasn't nominated for.
See, that's
a good
key.
Point.
I mean,
yeah, he's a great actor.
I love him, but what did he do that was Oscar-worthy? Come on.
He pretty much plays the same character in most of his movies, too. But
he's just so understated.
He should have been nominated in High Fidelity.
Agreed.
That's...
If
Black should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor for High Fidelity. And
High Fidelity should have been nominated for Best Picture.
That was a very good movie.
It was. I love that movie.
Very underrated movie.
That's my favorite Cusack movie, period. It's just,
yeah,
I'd
probably
just
have
such
agree.
A good movie.
Either that or 16 Candles.
Well, I'd go Gross Point Blank, too. I really enjoyed that one as well.
For me, if there was one that he should have been nominated for, it would be Being John Malkovich. But for that one, John Malkovich should have been nominated.
For
he
himself.
Wasn't.
He was good.
Well,
that.
He did an awesome job because I mean he did the
did.
Whole. You know, he did himself as him and him as John Cusack. I mean, he did an awesome job. But
my name is John Malkovich, and I play John Malkovich.
Thank you. I remember that.
In
if you guys get
role,
a chance,
I play John Malkovich.
If you've ever seen Batman and Little Boy, the movie about the making of the atomic bombs,
yes,
John Cusack again, not a huge role, but a pretty important one in that movie, and I thought he was awesome in that. And that was early '90s, I think. Paul Newman starred, and it was a pretty good cast. But this one will not surprise you, but you could probably think of a couple of movies he should have been nominated for, and that's Jim Carrey. What do you think?
He should have been nominated I think he should have been nominated and won for Man on the Moon.
Yeah, Man on the Moon. I think he got totally snubbed up. That was the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah, I don't I don't exactly remember who he was up against, who won that year, but when he wasn't nominated, it was one of those times where I really did want to just walk up to an Academy voter and just punch them in the face.
Yeah.
he was so good in that movie. He should have won. And a lot of people thought he was just spot on in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
Another movie that I really want to see but haven't seen yet. But if you look at what he's done lately, he's
gone downhill. I don't know why he's taking these roles. I mean, his next really big role, he'll be playing Robert Ripley in a movie called Ripley's Believe It or Not. That's his next really big role. He's also doing A Christmas Carol, but it's like a digital performance in which he's going to play Ebenezer Scrooge in that.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Wait, isn't he also playing the some of the spirits
He's playing seven characters in the movie, yeah. But...
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Jim Carrey can do that.
Yeah.
He can, but you remember that Lemony Snicket's? That movie was crap.
Yeah.
Can I just say that?
I never saw that one.
It was crap.
He should have just won for Ace Ventura. I'm throwing that out there.
What about the number 23? Okay.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Okay, here's one that this is a guy that I never really saw in movies because he hasn't done a lot of movies in my time. But Martin Sheen has never been nominated for an Oscar.
Wow.
What, really?
Yeah, and he did. Wow. Apparently he was just awesome in Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
And,
he should be nominated for pretty much anything except Spawn. That was just his hands down worst
performance. Golly, you're right about that. Spawn.
That was just horrible.
He's done some other bad movies too. I mean, but I don't know, he's a good actor.
Great actor.
I think maybe he's more of a. I don't know. Is he more of a character actor than he is like a headliner?
No.
No,
just for the record, on Spawn, it was his kids who convinced him to play.
Yeah, well, it was actually his grandkid who was a big fan of the comic book and told him to play it, even though he was adamant about not playing it. He only did it for them.
Well, let me tell you this. He's the best president I've ever seen. And of course, that's television, The West Wing. But ever really, really start getting into television discussions on this show or on the podcast, you know, I'll get into The West Wing and why it's my favorite TV drama of all time. But
well, you haven't seen Battlestar Galactica yet, Mike.
Yeah, right. Oh,
Mike.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have.
Right, I haven't.
Twice. That's awesome.
You know, I still haven't seen it. But The West Wing, I thought was so good. And you get extra points if in real life you are outspoken politically and I disagree with you 99 times out of 100, and yet I still love you playing the role of President of the United States. I just thought he was awesome. But yeah, he's never been nominated for an Oscar.
Wait, I got a question for you. On that show, did he play a Mexican president?
What?
Because he's Mexican.
Because he is Hispanic, right. His last name is really Estevez.
Estevez. Martin Estevez.
Emilio Estevez, yeah. Which that's something else I didn't learn until I saw Inside the Actor's Studio with him. He's Emilio Estevez. That's not a stage name.
That's his real name.
Family name.
Crazy. I had no idea.
It's Charlie Sheen's real name is Carlos.
Yeah, that's funny. that's funny. I don't know.
His name is Carlos Estevez, and he just goes by Charlie Sheen.
Awesome.
Okay, Steve Martin's never been nominated for an Oscar. Which, at first, you might say, okay, well, that's no big deal. But I'm telling you, The Jerk is one of the funniest performances
ever
that I've ever seen in a comedic film.
Yeah, I agree.
It fits the time it came out, too. It's very much in that era of those kind of comedies.
Let's hope they don't remake that one next.
Oh, they will.
And if they did, who would be the jerk?
It was so funny, what's it? Steve Martin was on, I think, is either Conan or Leno, and talking about, like, this is pretty recently, like, this kind of younger girl was like, aren't you the guy from The Jerk? And he's like, oh, yeah. And then she goes, Are you going to do any other movies?
That's great. Okay, here's one that's surprising to me, and that's Kevin Bacon. Never been nominated for an Oscar. And, yes, Kevin Bacon's one of those guys that's done a lot of crap.
Yeah.
But we're talking about he did a solid and, at the time, a pretty daring role playing the homosexual prisoner in JFK. He was awesome in A Few Good Men. He was solid in Apollo 13. I still think, in my opinion,
Stir of Echoes.
arguably the single greatest Oscar snub ever was for his role in Murder in the First. He played the prisoner, Attica? Alcatraz? Yeah, Alcatraz. If you've never seen Murder in the First, it's not that it's a great movie, and I'm telling you.
No, that movie is awesome. That movie is a great movie.
Well, I just can't watch it. I mean, I'd rather watch Shawshank.
Well, it's a hard movie to watch.
And Schindler's List back to back. One right after the other. Murder in the First, there's just something about it that's very hard for me to watch. But he was so good in that movie.
Maybe because it was depressing.
maybe that's why. I don't know. But the fact that he wasn't nominated blows my mind. That bothers me even more than Babe being nominated for Best Picture.
Wait, Babe the Pig movie?
That'll do.
The Pig movie was nominated for Best Picture. Yeah.
What? For what? For
Best Picture.
Best Picture.
Yeah, it went up against Braveheart that year.
What?
And Braveheart won.
Yeah. Thankfully.
Unfortunately, Apollo 13 should have won.
Well, quite frankly,
I disagree.
They snubbed that pig. That pig could talk. And the fact that they didn't give that pig an Oscar nod.
I was going to say, the pig was not nominated for Best Actor.
Yeah, give the pig the award, not the movie. I mean,
but the guy, what's his name, from the male actor in Babe was nominated for Best Actor.
What?
That's terrible. Oh, my gosh, yes.
I saved Latin.
Wow.
Like, what did you ever do?
That is a great line, Bakeman. Thank you for cheering me up with that. Bruce Willis has never been nominated for an Oscar.
That kind of doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Okay, but did he deserve it for The Sixth Sense?
No.
I'm not so sure he didn't deserve it.
Honestly, I think his best role was way back in a little TV show called Moonlighting. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Remember it? Got the DVDs for Christmas, my friend.
I think that's pretty much
show ever.
I think that's his best acting, to be honest, and that's not a movie. So,
I'm not sure that I disagree with that, because you're right. His acting in Moonlighting was solid. It's so funny when you go up to a 16, 17-year-old and say, Bruce Willis was one of the great comic actors of the 1980s, and they're going to be like, what?
Yeah, he had a lot of funny movies back then.
What about Blind Date? Unbreakable?
Yeah, well, I didn't see that as a best actor.
He didn't really act in that, though.
Well, that was the same performance he gave in The Sixth Sense.
No, it wasn't.
It was the same type of little thing that he had going on there.
I just think I'm Bruce Willis,
and I'm depressed.
No.
And
Bruce Willis,
I'm having marital problems.
No.
I have a superpower. I don't know what to do with it.
Going through the inner turmoil and the guilt that he still felt from that patient shooting himself right there in front of him, and I think that he struggled with that, and he struggled with how he wasn't the best. He wasn't the most attentive husband.
I'm just tugging on your emotional cords, dude. Calm down.
But what I'm saying is, it wasn't near as good an Unbreakable. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I think that may be all the big names that I have there for you.
What about names like Johnny Depp?
He's been nominated.
Yeah, he's been nominated.
But he's never won. He's never won.
No, he should have won.
And what about Gary Oldman?
He was great in Different Strokes, but kidding. Gary Oldman, was he nominated for?
He's nominated. I know he's been nominated for a couple things, hasn't he?
I don't know.
In my opinion, he's my favorite actor alive right now. I think he's the best actor alive right now. And the guy is any character you put in front of him, he can be that guy. Kind of like Johnny Depp.
But have you heard of a guy named Tom Hanks?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Tom Hanks is the best actor alive. Sorry.
I have to disagree with you guys on that one. I mean, he's a great actor. Don't get me wrong. I love Tom Hanks.
Go ahead.
But I don't think he's the best actor alive right now. He's up there.
All I know is almost every time that guy comes out with a movie, I say, that's not believable. Tom Hanks cannot play a prison guard on death row. And sure enough, awesome. That's not believable. Tom Hanks as a hitman back in the 19 whatever. No freaking way. Awesome. Now you're telling me that Tom Hanks is from this foreign country called Krakoja, and he's living in an airport, and he's doing a Russian accent? No way. Awesome. Just, every time, he never lets me down. And then, even when he does something understated, like, I'm going to go play second fiddle to Leonardo DiCaprio and play the cop chasing him the whole movie. Awesome. He's just, everything he does is good. My only problem with Tom Hanks is that he doesn't make more movies because, he should make more movies. There should be a Tom Hanks movie every year, at least.
Yeah.
But I do agree that Gary Oldman is one of those guys that he either doesn't get the offers or he just doesn't feel the need to do more stuff. Because I do think that he is quite a chameleon. I mean, he could play different roles. I loved him in Harry Potter. And I loved him in the new Batman movies. I agree. But he was also in JFK, played Lee Harvey Oswald, and I thought he was awesome in that. So, yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you there. Donald Sutherland, by the way, never been nominated for an Oscar.
Wow. That guy's been in tons of dramatic films.
Steve Buscemi, never been nominated for an Oscar. You guys don't seem to care about that.
He's more of an indie film award kind of guy.
He's the indie film king. He is the character actor.
But isn't that what the Oscars are all about these days?
No, not these days.
These days it's all about, like,
controversy.
Stuff. Thanks, Vincent. Okay, here's one I'm going to throw out at you because This is an actor that when I first say his name, you might not think of anything like this is no big deal. But I honestly think this is one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood, and that is Dennis Quaid.
Yes.
Now let's talk about that for a minute. Dennis Quaid.
Let's talk about Dennis.
When you hear the name Dennis Quaid, what's the first movie you think of that he's in?
The Rookie.
Dragonheart.
The Right Stuff.
Dragonheart and what?
Right Stuff.
The Right Stuff. See, there's three different movies right off the top of your head. Dennis Quaid. Looking him up here on Internet Movie Database. This guy has done some stuff. I thought he was awesome in The Express.
He's really good in The Express.
Okay, I guess I'll just skip over Vantage Point because you guys seem to hate that movie and I loved it.
I thought
he was very entertaining in Flight of the Phoenix. I thought
he was amazing in Yours, Mine, and Ours.
Thank you very much. Like I said, he's done a lot of movies. They're not all winners. The Day After Tomorrow I thought was a lot of fun. The
Frequency was good.
He played Sam Houston in The Alamo. Yes, he was awesome in Frequency.
Frequency was really good.
The Rookie. Don't forget a little Oscar-winning film called Traffic. He had a huge role in, was awesome. He was the aging, injured quarterback in Any Given Sunday, the Oliver Stone football movie. I thought he was really good in Dragonheart. Again, not so much a serious movie, but a lot of fun.
But what about Innerspace?
Innerspace, Martin Short.
And Meg Ryan in her wholesome cute days. Yes, I see. Wyatt Earp, it was Doc Holliday in Kevin Costner's way too long movie.
That movie was just horrible. I'm sorry.
I thought he was awesome as Jerry Lee Lewis in Great Balls of Fire. I really thought he gave a very good performance there. The Big Easy, as dude mentioned. Don't forget Jaws 3. That was tongue in cheek right there.
But Dennis Quaid, he's a good actor, but I wouldn't really call him like Academy Award winning an actor.
You will see him up next in G.I. Joe: The Rise of Cobra as Flint.
No, no, he's General Hawk.
There's going to be no Oscar nomination coming from that.
Venkman.
What did you say your division was again? I didn't.
Venkman, he plays Hawk, doesn't he?
Oh, is it Hawk?
General Hawk.
Oh, General Hawk. Sorry, my bad. I lose.
He doesn't play Flint.
I am
There's no Flint in this movie.
Well, I look at Dennis Quaid and I say, this is a guy that maybe he doesn't get... You know, granted, he doesn't make a lot of movies where you think Oscars. He doesn't make a lot of movies where you think, you know, critical acclaim. But he's done some really good stuff. He's done a lot of diverse characters, and I just think he's underrated as an actor. He's not appreciated for what he does.
He gets the work. He's doing his thing. He's getting plenty of roles. You know, he's made a great career.
Okay, but what I'm saying is he's underrated. He's not thought of highly enough.
You know, I think one of the reasons he takes so many roles. I mean, for me, if I think of a movie that's, I mean, just thrown together from some situation like, hey, we got a dog and it's going to play basketball or something, the guy I think of that's going to play some role in that is Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
Cheering the dog on. Come on, Fido, you can do it. He's like one of those guys, you know, like, yeah, sure, I'll take it. Let's send it to Dennis Quaid. He'll do it. Sure, yeah. Fox, he's in.
He seems like your wholesome, everyday American guy, you know?
You know, I think he's a great actor, but I think that whole credibility thing, I think it is because he's done so many just things, you know, just
mainstream.
Whatever.
He hasn't been
as more commercial movies than anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Anybody want to talk about what they think maybe the biggest Oscar snubs this year are?
Oscar snubs.
Dark Knight as a whole. I've been very vocal about that.
Gran Torino, didn't that get just crazy Oscar snubbed?
Yeah, Gran Torino got no love.
You know what, though? The only thing that should have gotten nominated for that it wasn't was Best Actor.
Yeah. I mean,
You say but it was
Clint
your number one movie, Venkman. Wait a
what
second,
What do you want
Venkman?
Me to say?
You just said, yes, you're right, and
if,
then on your
no,
top
no,
ten
if there was,
list,
if there was
it was your number
thing,
one movie of the year.
If it can't be nominated for Best Picture, then at least give Clint Best Actor, you know?
Well, I mean, for Best Picture for that, come on. Would it really deserve Best Picture? The acting, other than Clint Eastwood, was horrible in that film. The only thing that made that good for me, I mean, it was a good story, but just Clint Eastwood being that mean old Korean vet, spouting off racial remarks every 3 minutes was awesome, and it made for a great film. But, I mean, for a Best Picture, no way. That's my take.
There you go.
Okay. Okay, so we do feel like Gran Torino should have been nominated for. Some of us think Best Actor. I know Venkman, even though for some reason he's not admitting it, he thinks it should have been nominated for Best Picture.
No, I do. I do think it should be nominated for Best Picture. I think it should.
I'm just checking.
I don't think The Reader belongs there.
Ooh, I loved The Reader.
Did you really?
Oh, I loved it.
Well,
it was awesome.
All right.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
No one else saw it?
I didn't see it.
I
want
to
though. I really want to.
No, it's
good.
The Reader. I tell you what, go see The Reader. The Reader was a great film. Kate Winslet, she well deserves that Best Actress nomination. I saw Revolutionary Road just recently, which she also did a fantastic job.
Amazing, right?
But The Reader, I thought she just did. She did a better job in The Reader. Not to, I mean, belittle her role in Revolutionary Road, but The Reader deserved everything it got.
All right.
I think Leo should have got at least a Best Actor nod in
I agree.
Revolutionary. Yeah. I think he was a lot better than Kate Winslet was in that movie.
Wow, man. I thought I was looking at my childhood when I watched that thing. Holy crap, man. Just watching those two go at each other.
Yeah, it was in some intense scenes in that movie. It was amazing.
It was, yeah. That was it was a strong film.
Okay. What about but about Bruce Springsteen's song from The Wrestler not getting nominated.
Yeah, he won the Golden Globe.
Yeah, what's up with that crap?
Now he was nominated.
Here's the thing. Here's what I heard about this, and maybe someone can set me straight. But the reason it wasn't nominated is because it didn't qualify. Technically, it has to be in the film to be qualified for Best Song. And this song was, it started during the closing credits. So it was actually not nominated due to a technicality.
Yeah, they do have a different set of rules for the Academy than they do for the Golden Globes. So.
Yeah. I think the same thing happened with last year with, it was for a different reason, but Alex, what's his name? Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead. He did the There Will Be Blood soundtrack, and there was a song that was going to be nominated, but since it was in another form, it didn't qualify for some reason. Like, it ended up being taken off, so.
They're a lot more strict with the Academy Awards than they are with a lot of other things, so they follow their guidelines and rules a lot closer.
Yeah.
I'm going to backtrack for just a second. Should Revolutionary Road have been nominated for Best Picture?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
You know, for me, I thought it was a great film. And, you know, I would have put it in there instead of Milk. But, I thought the performances were awesome. But as far as Best Picture, probably not really a huge snub that it didn't get put in there.
Yeah, I agree.
So the biggest snub... Do we agree the biggest snub was Dark Knight or Clint Eastwood?
I think both equally. I mean, I haven't seen Gran Torino, but what everybody says is that Clint Eastwood was amazing. So
awesome, fantastic.
I completely forgot that Dark Knight hadn't been nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Dark Knight should have been nominated. That is 100% snub. It was one of the best movies this year.
One of the best movies of the last 25 years.
On everybody's top 10 list, you know, all the critics loved it. There's no reason why it shouldn't have at least been nominated. I'm not saying it has to win, but they should have at least nominated it.
And I think Nolan should have been at least nominated for Best Director also.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you look at Slumdog Millionaire, which was a great movie and that Danny Boyle directed, I think Christopher Nolan did such a better job directing Dark Knight than he did Slumdog Millionaire, or any of those movies that are nominated. Any one of them, he did better direction in Dark Knight than those.
Yeah, he's breaking amazing ground. He's, you know, he introduced the, like, IMAX into first feature film to have IMAX in it and
IMAX cameras.
Yeah.
Did anybody see Milk?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Should James Franco have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor?
I think Emile Hirsch was a better supporting actor in that movie than James Franco.
Oh, okay.
You know, for me on that one, I thought James Franco did a great job, but I mean, for me, just the competition is so tight this year on supporting actor that. Maybe there just wasn't room for him. He did a good job, but you know, I don't necessarily think he should have been nominated.
And let me ask this. Is Frost Nixon that good?
Yes.
Dude, Frost Nixon is awesome. You haven't seen it yet?
Yes.
You're a Ron Howard fan, dude.
Humongous Ron Howard fan.
Yeah, why haven't you seen that yet?
Because I don't go to the movies anymore. I thought I told you. That was my shtick. Is that I don't see movies anymore. Actually, I was excited to tell you guys that I did see some movies recently. And if you want to know what they are, I was naked for some of them.
Wow.
Most recently, I saw Pride and Glory with Colin Farrell and Edward Norton.
Okay.
And that was gross.
Is that a cop movie or whatever?
Yeah.
Yes, and why is it that every cop movie, there just has to be bad cops all over the place?
This is the movie that sat on a shelf for like 3 years, didn't it? I mean, they like weren't even going to show it.
I don't know, but it could have stayed on the shelf for me. And I love Edward Norton, and I thought, well, you know, Colin Farrell, I think you have to call it a little bit of a comeback that he's, you know, nominated for a freaking Academy Award for In Bruges. And,
he won the Globe.
Yeah, so I think, okay.
Best comedy, right?
He was good in it.
I'll go, yeah.
He was very funny.
It was a very funny movie where he kills a little boy.
Well, it is best comedy, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, I think his role had some funny lines, but still wouldn't talk up. Anyway, I saw Righteous Kill with De Niro and Pacino, so I don't know why I saw
that.
I actually enjoyed it.
Geez.
I know you guys didn't care much for it, but I mean, unfortunately, I was able to figure it out pretty quickly, and I don't consider, even though I really do, I joke around a lot, but I do see a lot of movies, but I don't pride myself as being someone who's able to figure out movies very quickly, and a lot of times it's because I don't try. I like to be surprised. I like to just let it unfold. Unfortunately, I was able to predict this one pretty easily, and so I usually, you know, count that as a big strike against a movie, but it was better than I thought it was going to be. I saw Appaloosa, Ed Harris and Viggo Mortensen. That was good. That wasn't nominated for any Oscars.
I love that movie. That movie was awesome.
But I thought it was pretty cool. I liked the ending because it was just kind of, okay, here it is. It's just an ending. But I enjoyed it. What else did I see? Oh, I saw Saw 5. I think those movies just keep getting smarter. I'm sorry. I love they're very creative. Has everybody seen the Saw movies?
Yeah, I haven't seen part 5 yet.
Let me tell you what impresses me the most about Saw 5. Parts 2 through 5 really only encompass, you know, like a few weeks or a couple of months. I mean, you know, if you remember, you know, the events in part 3 and part 4 rolled over like into the same night, and parts 4 and part 5 do the same way. It's really cool. I don't know. I really like it. I don't know. It's getting kind of boring now, but I know I saw a few other movies. I just forget what they are. I'll talk about them another time. But anyway, I wanted to ask you guys this question. Who's seen the movie Doubt?
Yes, I have.
Because there are at least 4 performances from that movie that have been nominated for acting.
Yeah.
But, you know, not for Best Director, not for Best Picture.
It was an actor's movie. I mean, the story is pretty powerful, but it was really a movie just to show off acting abilities. They were incredible.
It looks good. It really looks good. I want to see it.
You should.
Does anybody, before we kind of wrap this up, does anybody have any major predictions for next week they want to get out there?
Heath Ledger will win.
Who wins the Oscars?
Yeah. Or anything that's going to happen at the Oscars?
Heath Ledger will win.
Final breakout.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that they're all going to praise
Clint Eastwood and Spike Lee are going to go at it.
That would be great.
I would love awesome. That.
Samuel L. Jackson will announce he's going to be in 10 more movies that weekend.
Good call. Whereas Vickman thinks he was snubbed for Lakeview Terrace.
Oh, he was snubbed for Lakeview Terrace, people. You don't even know how bad he was snubbed.
Okay, real quick. Is anybody going to beat out Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler?
Sean Penn might. If it's going to be anybody, I hear it's going to be Sean Penn.
Yeah, there is a lot of buzz around Sean Penn, actually.
He was brilliant in Milk.
And it'll be just like, okay, Sean Penn, let's just roll out the red carpet so he can get up there and make his political statement that he's dying to make.
You know what, though? I agree with Abe Froome. I'm not a huge Sean Penn fan, but he did an awesome job in Milk. You totally forget who it is that's playing Harvey Milk. He did a really great job. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him take it over Mickey Rourke.
Yep.
Does anybody have a chance of beating Heath Ledger?
Nope.
Wait, who else is nominated for that again? I forgot.
Josh Brolin from Milk, Robert Downey Jr., Tropic Thunder, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Doubt, and Michael Shannon from Revolutionary Road. And I hear that Michael Shannon was a stud in Revolutionary Road.
Yes, he was.
He was very – actually, you know what? He was very – when I saw Revolutionary Road – I said he could play the next Batman villain, Michael Shannon.
Yeah,
he's that deep and like just Oh yeah, he's good. He's very, very good.
That would be cool. I wish they would replace him. They need to get a new Batman. Maybe he could be Batman.
Oh, come on.
I'm still Leonardo DiCaprio for Batman.
I will never watch Batman.
I'd rather have him and Christian Bale. Golly.
What?
Don't get me started. I'm sorry, Mr. Black. I'd rather Gary Oldman be recast as Batman than watch Christian Bale.
Hold on, we have someone here that'd like to talk to you. Talk to us.
Who?
Why do you want me in the next Batman film?
Oh, that's great. He sounds just like him. That's the sad part. He souns just like him. He could play Batman.
Defines me.
But he doesn't.
Clint Eastwood or Batman? There.
Okay. Well, why is it? Is it because the tirade? Is it because the
is it? Yeah. Is it because he got angry at the guy? I mean.
No, I mean he's just a moron for that. I mean
I love he's going, like he said on Kevin and Bean that, you know, that's it's kind of half Christian, half Sean Connor. It's true because he's going in and out of his American accent, you know, in between, you know. Like, he's like, you know what, man, I'm gonna kick your effing ass, right? You're unprofessional, man. You're unprofessional, okay? It's done between you and me, okay? You get it? You know.
But I mean, okay. I'm sorry.
I can't get over the fact that he's in the middle of his tirade and then he's talking to Mick G. Yeah. Because I just can't. I still can't picture anybody actually addressing a human being as Mick G. Here we go.
That's his name.
No. Don't shut me up. No, don't. Do not shut me up. Okay. Shut me up.
And even Mick G, in his great wisdom, in the tirade, it sounds like Mick G's like, "Would you just shut up, Christian? Would you just shut up?"
Was it Mick G or was it Bruce?
It was Bruce.
I didn't see it.
But look, playing devil's advocate here, I don't, however he is in his personal life, I really don't care. I think he's a decent actor, and I think he gets the character of Bruce Wayne down. Granted, that whole voice is annoying, but they actually do that in post. A lot of that they do in post. They did that.
They clean it up in post, dang it.
Exactly. They're not cleaning it in post, I'll tell you.
No,
that
they're
right
they're
now.
Actually, yeah, they're actually making it growlier and making it very absurd. And I agree, I think that whole voice is just ridiculous. But I think he does a great Bruce Wayne. And
your voice is so strange. Why do you talk that way? It's unbelievable.
Oh, see, we don't need sound effects. We got Abe.
We got Abe Roman here.
Okay. Well, look, folks, again, please tune in next week. Pay attention to the website for...
Look for the website. If we can figure this out, we're going to put it up there. Hopefully.
And Twitter. Look for us on Twitter, right, Vingan?
Yeah, check us out on Twitter. Follow the twits. Follow the tweets. The tweets.
Tweets. Let's call them twits.
Twits.
I'm going to have to learn about this.
I love Twix.
Well, does anybody have any closing thoughts? Because I'm spent here.
Yes, I'm going to go see Watchmen this week. I'm very excited. Thank you very much.
Bastard.
Good luck with that. And... oh, yeah, don't forget about the contest.
We will be announcing the contest winner. Well, this probably will go up tomorrow, so the winner will be announced. But, yeah, thank you,
winner's
everybody.
Winner's
going to
be announced tomorrow?
What?
Winner's going to be announced tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow for us, by the way, folks, would be Monday. So it's already done by the time you hear this.
Yeah, well, thankfully now these will be up on a regular basis on a set schedule because I can do that now, so...
Oh, we're taking it up a notch.
Yes, we are.
I'm actually getting paid for this right now, by the way.
Nuh-uh.
I'm serious.
Well, that and other things.
That and other things, yeah. But this counts as part of my work, my daily work.
That's awesome, dude. Geek Tyrant is going to be on a W-2 someday. All right. Okay. That's it for us then. We'll get these Oscar things taken care of, and then we'll really get to start talking about television a little bit more.
Sounds good. I like TV. Battlestar Galactica all the way.
Oh, absolutely.
You guys, no, I'm sorry. Not the latest. But
we can't get
watch
into it.
Now. Watch Battlestar Galactica. Just watch it.
But I've got to watch it from season one. Apparently,
you have
I can't
to
watch it now. You guys
go watch the miniseries. You'll find it. Just watch it.
I haven't seen a single episode either. So maybe we can do a marathon. You and me, EMH.
Exactly. We'll get together, and we'll do that.
We'll do a live broadcast.
Yeah. Miniseries of a 4-hour miniseries. Come on.
The podcast of us watching Battlestar Galactica.
Push play it. Now.
Alright. I'm out of here, you guys. Y'all have a great week, and we'll see you Sunday night for the Oscars.
Alright, take care, you Mitch.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Later.
Peace.